Going to look into God's Word and spend some time praying this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the freedom that we still have to meet together. We ask that you would please guide us, please direct us, that our hearts may be tuned in tune with you, that our hearts would be delighting in you, delighting in your Word. And that you would teach us and direct us so that we might be a people pleasing to you and a godly witness to those around us who know you not. And I thank you and ask these things in Christ's wonderful name. Amen. This is our fifth Sunday prayer time, and Jim won't be here today just caring for Josh, so I will substitute for him as far as leading us and guiding us through the prayer time. Tyler's going to help us with praying, and James is going to help us with praying also. Tom would help us, but Tom's still got some respiratory stuff, so he decided it'd be best if he didn't pray. So, okay, if you will turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 and then chapter 9, we're going to look at these chapters very, very briefly. The last several times I've spoke, I've gone through just some times when Nehemiah prayed in chapters 1 and chapters 2 and chapter 4. This morning we're going to look at very briefly at both chapters 8 and chapter 9. And what we're going to do is just see how the stage was set for what would appear to me be like a prayer in chapter 9 verses 5 to the end of the chapter. Maybe some people wouldn't call it exactly a prayer, but it fits like a prayer does in the sense that if you read in the Psalms, you see oftentimes where the writer is going through whatever's troubling him, whatever's bothering him, whatever he has a concern about. And oftentimes he'll end with a resolve or a purpose. And you can see that in numerous Psalms. So we're going to look at chapters 8 and 9 and then we'll be praying together. So let's look at chapter 8 first. And chapter 8 is the setting for chapter 9. If you look at chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And all the people gathered as one man at the square, which is in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it." And I'll stop right there. They had finished building the wall. You can look back in chapter 6 or chapter 7. They had finished building the wall. It took them 52 days to build the wall, rather fast. Just considering all that they went through. They had a lot of hardship to go through, but they began and they were going to read from the law of God. And you notice it says that it was in the seventh month, and that's going to be important as we follow down the rest of the chapter, because we'll see what they do when they finish reading for that particular day. All the people were living in the cities. Chapter 7, verse 73. So they've kind of finished things, and they want to hear God's word. And I would say this is kind of unusual, because you don't see many times where in the Old Testament it's the people that want to do this. So I think this is rather interesting, and I think we'll see the importance of it later. Also, we notice down in verses 9 and 10, that Nehemiah, as well as the Levites who are there in the reading of the law and explaining of it, they exhorted the people. They tried to encourage them not to be grieving, not to be weeping, but to be trusting in the Lord. And when we begin chapter 9, I should make a point that in chapter 8, beginning in verse 14, it says, "And they found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. So they proclaimed and circulated a proclamation in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the hills and bring olive branches and wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of every of other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. And so they went out and they did that. And if you go back to Leviticus chapter 23, verses 34 and 35 and following, you'll see that one of the feasts was the Feast of Booths. And they were to do just exactly what the people here wanted to do. And it is in the seventh month. So it was in the seventh month that they were reading. It was in the seventh month that they must have come across that in the reading in the book of Leviticus. And so they decide, we need to do this. Let's go out and let's do what God says. It's a seven-day feast, and they weren't to do any work. They weren't to do any labor. They were to make offerings. On the eighth day, there would be a holy convocation, and they would offer a sacrifice. And so we're going to see that that's exactly what they did here. If you read from verses 13 down to verse 16 or 17, that's exactly what they did. So when we come to chapter, and so you got 8 days. So it's on the 15th of the month. You add 8 days, you got the 23rd. You come to chapter 9, and it says, now on the 24th day of this month. So that's the day after they finished the Feast of Booths. They've had the 7 days, and they read during those 7 days. And then they had the holy convocation on the 23rd day. So that's the next day. Now on the 24th day of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dirt upon them. And the descendants of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. While they stood in their place, they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day. And for another fourth, they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So you see that they've had this Feast of Booths that they celebrated. And now you'd think, well, they're joyous, they're happy, but they're very sad. And you can see that. They separated themselves from the foreigners. They stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities. And they read. And then it says, for a fourth of the day they read, for another fourth they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. So God had been moving in their heart. And how did he move? He moved because they had been reading. They had been hearing God's word. They chose to do what God had told them to do. They knew what month they were in. And God was moving in their heart. So as they read, we come to chapter 9, verse 4. It says, now on the Levites' platform stood Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, Kenani, and cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, arise, bless the Lord your God forever and ever. So we see what happens here. They've heard the word of God. And they decide, this is what we need to do. And the priest, and it's almost like it's spontaneous. There's no preparation that seems to be given. It just speaks from their heart. And they say to them, bless the Lord your God, arise. So can you imagine, these people have been, they've had a trial, a great trial. They've been in captivity. They're back in the land. They had the trials to put up the wall with the people who were against them. They've heard the word of God. And so the priests, the Levites here, tell them to arise and bless the Lord. So they all stand up. Can you imagine that? About thousands of people. I don't know how many people were there. And they are told to bless the Lord. But it's they who do the praying or who do the speaking. And I think we can learn something from this for ourselves and to see what they went through. And I'm not going to read all this because I don't have the time to do that for our prayer time. But I do want us to just be reminded or to look and to consider at what they did, what they said. You notice how it starts. If you just look through it, you can skim through it as I'm speaking, but notice how he starts. They start with speaking about the Lord. Oh, may thy glorious name be blessed and exalted above all blessings and praise. Thou alone art the Lord. Thou hast made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. Thou dost give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before thee. So they start out speaking about the Lord, who is to be blessed, who's made all things, who is the creator. And then they make a switch from something about the Lord himself to the beginning of their people, Abraham. And he speaks about Abraham and about how God chose Abraham and how God gave them a lineage and he gave them a land. And we see how it's thou. If you'll notice over and over in this section, it's thou, thou, thy. The focus is on the Lord. It's not on themselves until the end, but it's on him and what he's done. So he skips from speaking about Abraham to the fathers who were in Egypt. So he skips. He goes from Abraham, skips Isaac, skips Jacob, and goes to the 12 tribes who were in Egypt and what they were suffering. And as he spoke to them, he declared all that God did in their behalf. You can see that if you have it on your own time, just to look at verses 9 to 15 about what they went through and how God delivered them and took them out of the land of Egypt, brought them into their land. And then in verses 26 to 31, we see how as they got into the land, they had great blessings. But instead of using the blessings to give honor to the Lord, they turned away from him. And they turned away from him over and over. But we see again what thou did. Even though they were stubborn, even though they were rebellious, God kept ministering to them. With all that they had, they became disobedient. They rebelled against God, but God continually ministered to them. He would deliver them. He would be gracious to them. The end of their prayer, we see something that I think is important for us all, just to remind us, even in our own day. We come to verses 32, and he says, now therefore, O our Lord, our God, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does keep covenant and loving kindness, do not let all the hardships seem insignificant before thee, which has come upon us, our kings, our princes, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and on all thy people, from the days of the kings of Assyria to this day. And notice they're focusing mainly what's happened to them out of Judah and the northern tribes. However, thou art just in all that has come upon us, for thou hast dealt faithfully, but we have acted wickedly. For our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our fathers have not kept thy law or paid attention to thy commandments and thy admonitions which thou hast admonished them. But they, in their own kingdom, with thy great goodness which thou didst give them, with the broad and rich land which thou didst set before them, did not serve thee or turn from their evil deeds. Behold, we are slaves today. And as to the land which thou didst give to our fathers to eat of its fruit and its bounty, behold, we are slaves in it. And its abundant produce is for the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. They also rule over our bodies and over our cattle as they please. So we are in great distress. The word of God had greatly impacted them, and they knew what they were experiencing. It was because of their own sin. It wasn't because of anything that God had done. In fact, as they speak, they acknowledge everything that God has done for them, but they consider that they're slaves, still slaves, even though they're in their own land, even though they've just rebuilt the walls and they're going to begin to work on the city. They knew what position they were in. So they end with, now because of all this, we are making an agreement in writing. And on sacred, on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests. And what we see, if you continue to read into chapter 10, they purpose to do God's will. They purpose to follow His law. They purpose that they will be obedient to Him. And I just would think for us, as a way of application for us, just to be reminded that these chapters show the great effect of the Word of God. When we're reading the Word of God, God will take what we read and He will minister to us. He will help us to see our sin, and He will help us to see who He is and to see His great goodness and His mercy. And if we counted the number of times that the pronouns related to God were used, we would be and we are compelled to acknowledge His hand in the Jews of their day and today. Because if we are going about what God has called us to do, we have to acknowledge that over and over again. It's not because we do this or we do that. It's because God is at work. And we need to be thankful and grateful for that. Yesterday I was listening to a little program on the internet. And there was a man who they were speaking to. He's a very powerful man. He has lots of money. He has lots of influence. And somewhere you could tell it was earlier in his life, because he's very gray-headed and very wrinkled today. But this is no wrinkled. He had darker hair. He was asked, "Do you believe in God?" He said, "No." He said, the person asked him, "Are you religious?" And he said, "No." Well, everything this man does, and I won't name his name, he is a wicked person, and he does everything he can to fight against everything that's good in this country and around the world, especially in Europe. We have a great blessing. We have the Word of God. We have God working in us, and we need to be thankful and grateful for that. And we need to just continue to ask God to use His Word in our lives, and we might be pleasing to Him. The fact that the Levites said, "Thou alone art God," and spoke of His creation and all things, doesn't allow us to say their words and their pleas were just a Jewish matter either. It's not just a Jewish matter. We're reading about Jews here, but we can see throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, there were people who cried out to God, Jew and Gentile. And so we need to be a people who know the Word of God, know that God is working in us through His Word, and ask Him to help us and to do even as they did at the end of that chapter, to have a purpose that we are going to, maybe even in writing. Sometimes people do that. They sit down and put things in writing that they will go back to do what God wants them to do. And that should be true of us. And it should be true because if we know Christ as our Savior, we know that He and He alone can help us, and that He will help us, and that we are to give the glory to Him. So with that said, if you have a prayer sheet, and James, if you'll help out, just raise your hand if you don't have one. Everybody have one? Okay. Now, as it's obvious, Jim isn't here, and Mr. Barnes isn't here, and Eddie's not here. Different people are sick. David Barnes had surgery Friday, and I understand it went well, but he'll be out for several days and a while for recovery. So it won't be the usual people closing out a different prayer time. So I've asked James and Tyler to help us out with that, and I'll close out the personal prayer request section. Is there anything that anybody has a prayer request that isn't on here that you'd like to ask prayer about, whether for yourself or someone else? Okay, if not, we'll start with the prayer guidance for GBC ministry. And Tyler, I'll ask you to close out that section, and James, I'll ask you to do the one for missions ministries. Yes, ma'am.
I noticed on Facebook yesterday that Flora Pope has been put on palliative care.
Oh, okay.
That's Tim Pope's mom.
Right.
If people would pray for her and for the family.
Okay. Right. Right. So, if somebody, I'm going to just ask you to raise your hand, and I know I can see how Jim does it. It's awful hard to, you tend to look this way, so I'll try to look both ways, and you pray for Jim when he does it, because so he gets everybody, okay? For our country's leaders, that we might continue to have freedom in America to worship. He would pray for that. All right. For those who are deployed overseas and those defending our freedoms. Okay. For our elders, Jim Bryant, Ed Moffitt, Tom Cooper, David Barn, and Dan White. Okay. For our deacons,